with. Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some really interesting guests on. Our first guest is Shannon Kaiser, and she is the author of The Joy Seeker. And then on the next part of the show, we're going to have Dr. Miranda Wiley, and she is going to be talking about mental and emotional health naturally from a naturopathic physician's point of view. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Older women who get even light exercise, like a daily walk, may lower their risk of suffering a broken hip, a large study suggests. The study of more than 77,000 older U.S. women took a deeper look at the types of exercise that are related to the risk of hip fracture and other bone breaks. The researchers found that on average, women who regularly exercised at any intensity, from walking to doing yard work to jogging, had a lower risk of hip fracture over 14 years compared to inactive women. It all suggests that even light activity is enough to curb the risk of these serious injuries, said study leader Michael Lamont, a research associate professor at the State University of New York at Buffalo. The findings were published online October 25th in JAMA Network Open. Delaying surgery for a non-invasive breast cancer can have dire consequences, a new study shows. Longer delays in surgery for ductal carcinoma in situ breast cancer lead to a higher risk of invasive ductal carcinoma and a slightly lower survival rate, researchers found. Study author Dr. Richard Bleicher said for each month of delay, there was well under a 1% difference in survival, but for each month of delay, there was an approximate 1% increase in the finding of invasive cancer. He is a professor of surgical oncology at Fox Chase Cancer Center in Philadelphia. The study was published October 21st in the Annals of Surgical Oncology. Teens who stay glued to screens, be it televisions or electronic devices, are not only getting less exercise, they're more likely to down too many sugar, caffeinated drinks, according to a new study. Researchers analyzed data from more than 32,400 U.S. students in grades 8 and 10. They found that more than 27% exceeded recommended sugar intake and 21% exceeded recommended caffeine intake from soda and energy drinks. Males consumed more sodas and energy drinks than females, and grade 8 students consumed more than grade 10 students. Overall, there was a decline in soda and energy drink consumption between 2013 and 2016, but greater use of electronic devices, particularly TV, was associated with higher consumption of both. The study findings were published October 22nd in the journal PLOS ONE. Rising rates of obesity and diabetes could be pushing up rates of pancreatic cancer across the globe, a new report suggests. Global rates of colon cancer are also on the rise, although fewer cases are now proving deadly, researchers said. Colon cancer rates and pancreatic cancer deaths rose by 10% worldwide between 1990 and 2017, according to a new study of global trends in digestive diseases. Data from 195 countries also showed that pancreatic cancer cases increased 130% over the period, from 195,000 cases in 1990 to 448,000 in 2017. The findings were presented last week at a meeting of United European Gastroenterology in Barcelona, Spain. The study was published simultaneously in The Lancet Gastroenterology and Hepatology.
Shannon Kaiser has been named the top 100 women to watch in wellness by the Mind Body Green and a thought leader on the rise by Cafe Truth. She appears regularly as a happiness expert on AM Northwest and HuffPost Live. And Shannon is the best-selling author of Adventures for Your Soul, Finding Your Happy, Find Your Happy Daily Mantras, and the new book, which she has just come out with, The Joy Seekers. So welcome, Shannon.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
It's great. And so this book is just brand new?
Yes, it comes out actually tomorrow, and it's all about living with more meaning and joy and giving ourselves permission to live a life that feels good.
And you've been on this journey quite a while. This is 5 books in?
Yeah, this is my 5th book, and it's interesting because when I as a happiness author and a coach, I finally had it all figured out, right? Some people
right.
are like, well, wait a second, why are you writing about joy? I thought you were the joy seeker. And that's exactly it. I actually suffered a loss. My dog, who was one of my best friends, of course, he passed away of old age a couple years ago. And I went into this mini depression of suffering from grief. And I recognized that up until that point in my life, I was still relying on things outside of myself to be, you know, make me happy, these peak experiences that we often chase. Well, I'll be happy when I lose weight, when I get the soulmate, when I, you know, all these things. And I was doing that. And so when my dog Tucker passed away, I realized that I had to be able to find joy within myself, even in my darkest moments. And it turned into really a year of writing the book and dedicating a year to joy.
And how would you describe joy now after seeking it?
So it's interesting because I truly believe that joy is so much different than happiness. A lot of us feel, you know, I think Eleanor Roosevelt said happiness is actually a byproduct of living a fulfilled life. And I believe that joy is with us always. We have to, instead of chase it, we allow it. And so joy is an essence. It's who we really are. It's an experience of life, appreciation, really.
And in this allowing process, how do we not seek but allow?
And that's interesting. That's funny because I, at the very end of the book, I talk about, you know, I thought about calling this book Joy Allower, but Joy Seeker is really what we have to become. Seeking is about going inward. This book is really a permission book. It's a guidebook on how to let go of what's holding us back so we can be who we're meant to be in the world. And in order to do that, we seek inward to discover what we really care about. And we can start by asking ourselves, well, what am I curious about? What does bring me joy? You know, the questions we ask ourselves are really important. And asking yourself, when do I feel happy? When do I feel, you know, connected to myself? What am I doing? Who am I with? These are things that we can start to ask ourselves and implement daily to feel more joy in each moment.
Now, you're an empowerment coach as well as an author. Are these some of the questions that you work through with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. And I very much believe in the power of journaling, whether we sit down and actually journal, you know, like a, you know, pen and paper, or we just ask the questions mentally to ourselves. I think mental health is one of the biggest indicators of our joy level, and focusing on feeling good in each moment starts by getting in touch with our true self.
And you say feeling good. Are all feelings welcome on our way to joy?
Yes, yes. I'm so glad you brought that up because this is not at all about being happy all the time. And that's one of the barriers that actually keeps us from, I call them joy busters. It's a joy buster that we have to be happy all the time, especially in our culture, right? Mm-hmm. And when I give people permission, and there's a process that we go through where you allow yourself to feel the feelings. When you're sad, feel these feelings. And that's exactly what I did in the loss of my dog. By feeling the grief and the sadness and the frustration, you can move through it and let it heal and let it really be a teacher for you. So all emotions are welcome.
Mm. Do you feel that this book, The Joy Seekers, is a natural follow-up to your other books?
I do. You know, my last book that came out was called The Self-Love Experiment, and I realized I tend to write about what I need to learn, and I went through this process where I discovered self-love. And a lot of my readers came along and they recognized that I feel good and I feel self-love. Now what? And now it becomes about full self-actualization, being who you're meant to be in the world, choosing joy, and really being unapologetic about who you are, what you stand for, and shining your gorgeous bright light.
And we really, that's a big challenge in corporate work and all sorts of areas of life to actually be our true selves.
I think we live in a society, I agree, in the sense that it tells us who we think we should be. And that's why this book is much needed, I feel, at this time. It's really a manifesto for us because I actually was in corporate several years ago. This is my 10-year anniversary, really. I was in corporate and I was diagnosed with clinical depression in 2010, or 2009, and I left corporate in 2010 to become a writer and follow my heart. And I recognize that so many of us are living by other standards or living by what we think we should do. In fact, there's a study that was done in the UK, the top regrets of the dying, and the number one regret is I wish I would have lived a life true to myself, not the one others expected of me. And so I recognized when I read that, oh my gosh, so many of us are sacrificing who we really are. And this book is a guide, and I started to live it fully by taking the steps to be who you are, and then that depression and anxiety can lighten, and we start to feel better.
Shannon, how difficult was it going from the corporate world and knowing that you had to make a change for your health and your life and moving out of it? How did it come about? And was it very difficult? Was it gradual? How did it come about?
Well, it's been, I believe, one of the principles I share in the Joy Seekers to look at your life as a creative unfolding adventure. And I truly think that mentality helped me because I released the expectations of what it needed to look like. But what I do know for certain is that the depression was killing me. My mentality, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I was just a shell of who I really was. And when I started to show up for myself and say, you know, I don't know how it's going to look, but I know that I want to be a writer. And here I am 5 books later with a beautiful career. I'm so glad I listened to that heart and I trusted. And I'm so glad that I did. So the difficulty was really in letting go of who I thought I should be to become who I really am. And once you tap into who you really are, it's freedom. And that's really what all of my work is about, to teach you how to empower yourself to feel free.
And to trust that you can support yourself being exactly who you are.
That's exactly it. In fact, it's a much more glorious, rewarding life when we can be who we are. Now, that doesn't mean I just, you know, left my corporate job and was a fulfilling writer. There's a period in between where I was building. I call it the bridge job. I was working freelance jobs, and now I'm a full-time writer, a speaker, and a coach. But I feel like sometimes we feel like it needs to happen faster. Maybe we have ideas of what we really want to do, but we don't know how. And I often say the how is in the now, so we just take one step. Anyone listening who's kind of thinking, I really want to do this, but I don't know how it's going to look, what one step can you take today? Just trust that step. So for me, that how looked like researching, you know, taking courses on how to be a published author, talking to author friends. It meant writing more. And those each day, those steps built upon each other to true fulfillment and happiness.
Shannon, you wrote your first book and it did well. When did you decide to write the second book?
So in 2012, I wrote my very first book, and it was a beautiful process. And I really soon after, each book kind of gives me an inkling of what the next book should be about. And I realized that the second book after that was going to be really kind of the next process. So it's all about overcoming the habits that are holding us back. And a lot of my work is letting go, surrendering and trusting that you're right where you need to be and giving you the actionable tool. This book, Joy Seeker, that comes out tomorrow, has more journal prompts and actions, basically like your life coach in your pocket. So if you can't afford your life coach or you want more guidance, it's kind of that guide. And it really does come back to the tools. We can pull the tools anytime to help us. The tools saved me. The tools are what I use to overcome my anxiety and depression. And so it's an honor to be able to share these tools as well.
Fascinating. Shannon, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about your book, The Joy Seeker, available soon.